Sunday afternoon, Lady Shir Chavis Alvos and Shar HaBechina, Iyar Chav Hei, 25 Iyar. Okay, we're learning Shar HaBechina, and Shar HaBechina to some people is boring. Some people don't understand the importance that the Chavis Halvavos attaches to it. It's something we know already. We know this, we know that. Everything we know, and if we don't know biology, we certainly didn't come here to learn biology. But the Chavis Halvavos, first of all, it's Chovas Halvavos. That's the first idea. We're not talking about Chasidus, we're not talking about Lefnim Mishuras Hadin, we're not talking about something that's for special tzaddikim. We're talking about something that's obligatory. Chovas. It's an obligation. Chovas Halvavos. That's number one. And it's an obligation that, it must be said, most people are either unaware of it, or if they're faintly aware of it, they don't do it. So it can't be stressed enough that this is an obligation. Point two is that not only is it an obligation, but the Chavis Halvavos in his structured sefer puts it second, which means after Shar HaYichud, after you've developed an idea of the reality of Hashem and the oneness of Hashem, in whatever way we are capable of grasping Shar HaYichud, there happens to be a wonderful two shiurim on Shar HaYichud that I recommend highly. It was given by Rabbi Milinowitz of the Tfilah Yonah Avram, and it's on the website, and it's I recommend it. I think it's okay. Not bad.
It's great.
And next comes Shar HaBechina. So that's that in itself, that Sidur, is a very powerful statement. That it's a Chova, and that it's second. And it's second for many reasons, and it bears repeating. It's okay to repeat it. And I want to focus, today I want to mention a reason that maybe we didn't focus on in other times. The first reason, of course, is that the Chavis Halvavos says it's a way of doing Shar HaYichud in an easier way. It's the way that's more practical for us to perceive that there's a Borei Olam. If we study these things, we realize that everything was created. It was created with design and purpose, and it's perfect, and it fits, and it's wonderful. And it's the way we see Hashem. We perceive Hashem, we see Hashem, we're aware of Hashem. And we should, you know, a child could play for hours with their fingers, right? We've had children, right? You know, when they discover their fingers. So there's nothing wrong with that. Adarabba, the problem is that adults lose the sense of wonder about everything in the world. We lose the sense of wonder about our fingers, right? You ever see a baby like... wow, he doesn't even chapitz his fingers. He thinks his parents bought him a new toy, which is fine with me. I'm okay with that. But then he gets used to it. But the Chavis Halvavos today, Mitzvah Hashem, will be learning about fingers, how amazing fingers are. So that's first of all, you see Hashem. The second point is it's a step ladder, a rung in the ladder, and the next step is Avodas Hashem. And we've mentioned this countless times, and I won't even I'll just mention it. This is our Avodas Hashem, it should be based on gratitude. And when you develop a gratitude filled life, because you're aware of all the things the Chavis Halvavos talks about, which he mentions is only a very, very partial list. and you walk around with a sense of wonder at the universe and how amazing things are, and who invented sidewalks? Wow, that's such a good idea. We ascribe inventions to people. We ascribe inventions to people. And the Chavis Halvavus is going to teach us today, if Rabbi Munoz would just stop talking and start learning already, and we get up to it, the Chavis Halvavus is going to teach us, really, today he says a chiddush. He talks about a man-made invention called writing. People wrote. Writing didn't come down with the Aseres Hadibros, right? At first they scratched probably lines in clay tablets, and then they developed an alphabet. These things happened. Well, maybe not Hebrew, because the world was created with Lashon Kodesh. And maybe language developed the Ofanes by the Dor HaFloga, but writing, you know, writing is writing. It's an invention. Chavis Halvavus says clearly, and he says it a few times throughout Shaar HaBechina, we didn't get up to it yet, but he talks about the idea that there's a monetary system. He says that's the most amazing thing in the world. It's a nace. People assign value to something that is of no use to them. You're not talking about paper money. That's upgrade. Gold and silver, it's worthless. Value, not doing anybody any good. Won't feed you if you're hungry. Won't shelter you if it's cold. Okay, jewelry. Okay. That's about it. Because it looks nice, you know. And the whole world has decided to make it valuable. It's like some unwritten contract that the whole world decided to assign value to it. It's a nace. Hashem did it, and now paper money is a bigger nace, and going off the gold standard is a bigger nace. It's mamish, just a piece of paper. Literally, in my lifetime, Nixon unhooked the dollar from the gold standard, and it's a nace. So some say it's like going to collapse one of these days because of inflation. If you just print money, then it's just the government really in the counterfeit money business. It just prints money. That's counterfeit because it's not backed by anything valuable. But the Chavis Halvavus points out gold is not valuable either. What's gold? It's a nace. It's Hashem. A fax machine is Hashem. Every invention is Hashem decided in which door it should appear. In which door in the flow of human habitation of the planet. So that's it. So that we have to be thankful for inventions, and we have to thank Hashem for inventions also. We tend to think of inventions as man-made. Okay, I'm getting off on a tangent.
Didn't Adam introduce the idea of coins representing?
Not Adam. Some say Yaakov did it in Shechem, mm-hmm. And whatever it is, it's Hashem. Hashem gave the idea to someone to take something essentially valueless. Then coins is a bigger chiddush, because coins, that's another invention. Because gold is gold, that's one chiddush. Then they took an amount of gold and they minted it, the government put a stamp on. Government is a chiddush. Or else the world would be anarchy. It's a chiddush of Hashem. Everything is Shaar HaBechina. The fire departments of Shaar HaBechina. The police departments are subject for Shaar HaBechina. An army, a society, people get together, they make certain heskemim, whether you're a libertarian or a pinko lefty commie, doesn't matter. I'm neutral, you could tell, right? Whatever it is, it's Hashem. Anyway, so the second thing is to live a life of gratitude. It's a stepping stone to Avodas Hashem. And if you do a little research, you'll see that psychologically, it's emotionally the best place to be full of gratitude instead of cynicism, bitterness, anger, feeling left out, feeling gypped out of life because you're not good in a certain one area of life. And you forget that your kidneys are working and your spleen's working and your eyes are working, etc., etc., etc. The third thing I wanted to mention today, I'll get to it, is Avas Hashem. You say,
oh wow, Avos Hashem, that's such a high madrega. I wish I could reach that madrega. Or like it's a real emotion. You have to feel it. The Rambam describes it. I told you many times. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva in Perek Yud describes it in a lashon that would make us blush. Really, it's so romantic. It's almost erratic the way the Rambam describes it. And he says that's what Shir HaShirim was really about. And he describes love, and it's an intense. It's hard to define love, but we will love Hashem if we do Shaar HaBechina. We will get there. We will get there because we're not talking about Goyisha love. Goyisha love is self love, right? The way the Michtam Eliyahu describes a person that loves fish, he loves himself, not fish. But the real love, love of someone else, so it's you recognize a value that you want to be part of, that you want to bond with that person because that person embodies a certain value. So there is no greater love than love of Hashem, because Hashem embodies, so to speak, all ultimate value. Hashem is value. Hashem, what Hashem is our value. Allah the Bidrachot. And the primary value, which is, again, what's the primary value? You take the Ramchal and the Maral, and certainly the Chovos Halvavos, because this fits in with, I think, the primary value is Hashem does Chesed. Hashem is a Meitiv. That's Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. Hashem bestows, he gives of himself to others. That's a primary value that we're supposed to emulate, and that will bring, we love Hashem. We don't love Hashem like, you know, if I love someone because they give me a lot of presents. It's much more sophisticated than that, because then it's back to the Michtam Eliyahu's loving fish. If I like someone because they give me presents, then, but with Hashem, it's v'halachta b'drachav, it's a value that we want to therefore be part of, bond with Hashem, be like that, see something of infinite value, and that's it. So the Shaar HaBechina in the Chovos Halvavos' world is not only seeing Hashem and seeing Hashem's Chochmah and wisdom and complexity and design and purpose, but as he keeps stressing over and over, everything is a chesed, everything is made in a way that it's so good, and the mouth does what it's supposed to do so that a person can enjoy eating, and the eyes, and like people, and the Chovos Halvavos says in his Hakdama to Shaar HaBechina, he says people focus, like you know, the newspapers print when there's a plane crash. They don't print the 99.9% of planes that don't crash. So the Chovos Halvavos says we look around and we see when things go wrong. Oh, look at that person, he can't see. Oh, Nebuch. So, you know, but look at all the people that can't see. Look at you, we can see. So it will. So we will. Okay. We'll have the Shalom Aleichem later, or else it'll take up the rest of the class. But you didn't have to move back to Ramat Beit Shemesh just for this class. Although I wouldn't say it's not worth it. Today I wanted to point that out, that it'll enable us to really develop Avas Hashem, which is a very high madrega, and maybe sometimes we wonder how to do it, but you read the Rambam and you read the Chovos Halvavos and you read Ramchal, this is how we do it. Not because Hashem gives us things, but because it's the value of giving, it's the value of being a meitiv, and the more we study how Hashem does all these things for mankind, the more we'll develop Avas Hashem. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei Torah. In Hilchos Tshuva that I mentioned, he describes love of Hashem. But in Hilchos Yisodei Torah, he describes examining the Bria, examining everything in the Bria. Allah, Chovos Halvavos, Shaar HaBechina, who preceded the Rambam by a few centuries. But that's what he describes, doing that, and then you say, wow, and you just end up with Avos Hashem. So, I don't know, maybe we'll have text, we're up to the value of talking. and say, wow, Hashem, I appreciate that people can talk, that's how they communicate. Right? Communication. Without I can tell you what's on my mind. That's talking. You could know what I'm thinking. I can know what you're thinking. We can have an exchange of ideas. This is the my love talking. You could say, well, you can write. Doesn't go. You ever try to just do your emails and see? By the third email, there's already a misunderstanding. Yeah.
It's obligatory. It's a chud. At the same time, it's an emotion that we should feel. How can emotion be?
By learning Shaar HaBechina.
By learning
Shaar HaBechina. That's what the point is. By studying Shaar HaBechina, you will develop Avas Hashem. That's it. That's what the Rambam says. Keitzeru Aderech La'Avosu V'Yiraso. How do you do that? You don't just wake up one morning and say, a man, let's say, wakes up and says, I'm going to put on tefillin today because I have to. A woman says, I'm going to take challah because I have to. Chovas HaLavavos is not like that. That's what the Chovas HaLavavos spent the whole his Hakdama saying, why Chovas HaLavavos is so much more me than Chovas HaYivarim. Because Chovas HaYivarim I could do by rote, I could do without thinking about it, I can go through my life doing all the rituals without once thinking of Hashem. But you can't do Chovas HaLavavos like that. You can't. And that's its value. It connects us to Hashem. So we do certain things that will awaken that emotion. And that's why, again, thank you. That's why Shaar HaBechina is so important. Okay, so he's talking about talking, and he's saying, it's amazing. Hashem created a way for me to know what's your ideas, how you feel about things. I mean, you know, my daughter's dating. Talking. I wish they would go on a date and do something interesting. But what do? They sit and they talk and they exchange ideas. And how do I know how smart that person is? I'm not going to give him an IQ test. I'm going to look at his face. He looks unbelievably brilliant. Talk. He says, Hashem gave us, I'm going to spot the text in a moment, I'm saying like the story thus far. Hashem gave us a way. It's an IQ test. Hashem gave us an instant IQ test called talking. A person will talk to me, I'll figure out within a few minutes the level of intelligence. Of course, most of the time. And I'll know what he's thinking, and I know what he feels about things. And that's a gift. It's a gift to mankind, the idea of talking. And that's how we develop friendships. That's how we maintain relationships, as any good counselor will tell you, communication. And what is this lashon? A beautiful poetic lashon. The tongue, is kulmus halev, is the quill, the pen of the heart or of the mind. Ushliach hamitzpun, and it's the agent for what's inside of you. Mitzpun is the Chavitavavus' word for your subconscious, maybe, or your deep down kishkes, I call it, right? It's the shliach of the mitzpun. And if not for Dibur, we would not be able to connect with our fellow man. There wouldn't be that connection that we have now. And you can tell if people are good or bad, if you like them, if you don't like them. And even with Hashem, he says, Hashem, I mean, davening and learning. It's all talking. And it's a chiddush, because we're forming words, and there's words, and there's consonants, and vowels, and words, and sentences, and rational sentences, and it's amazing. Plus, a voice is like fingerprints, right? It's 1 o'clock in the morning. There's a knock on the door. You don't know if it's your husband or a robber, right? So you say, "Who is it?" And you listen to his voice. It's like fingerprints. No two voices are alike. Zohar and Nekeva have different kinds of voices. Kol beisha erva, a woman's voice is alluring. It's feminine, and so that's another aspect of talking. Really, it's just an amazing, amazing thing. We're up to the words in the Chovas HaLavavos where he says, "V'hi haraya hachi chazaka al chashivas ha'adam ugriuso." The way a person speaks, not just, you know, what he says, how he says it, he'll share with you his thoughts, and the, if he uses coarse language or edel language, it's the best proof al chashiva sa'odam ugriyusa. Now you look at a picture, or you read a resume, it sounds great, it sounds wonderful, then you talk to the person, and boom, within 60 seconds, there's something to the speed dating after all. It's not such a bad idea, I think it's a great idea. Because of this chayvus halvavus, that you can't tell a person by looking at their face, and you talk to them, and that's really haraya hachi chazaka. That's the best proof about a person's worthiness, al chashiva sa'adam, or griyuso, his unworthiness. Ukvar namar ki ha'adam, a person is halev v'halosha. And again, we're going to follow Rav Avigdor Miller's Zatzal, that the definition of lev is mind, not heart. And he says that's throughout Mishle, it's the mind, not the heart. The brain is the physical repository for information and for whatever electrical impulses it does. But when you say a person's mind, he says throughout Mishle, you talk about the lev. So, ha'odam ha'lev ha'loshon, so we would say his thought or his mind and his tongue. Ubo ha'shlomas geder ha'odam, that defines who he is and what he is and where he's holding. Ritzonoloma hadibur, talking about talking, that's the combination of the lev and the loshon. Ki geder ha'odam, the defining, the definition of a person is chai medaber meis. That's kind of depressing, but that's it. He lives, he talks, and he dies. Those are the words of the Chovas Halvavas. Talking is the lubricant of life. It's what Hashem gave us to do all these things that I just mentioned. It's communication, it's a way of giving an IQ test, it's a way of developing an idea of a person's worthiness, it's the way we relate to Hashem to a very great degree, Talmud Torah and Tefillah. It's a social, it's the way we develop and maintain relationships. Talking is amazing. It's amazing. And that's why L'nefesh Chai is the Ruach Mamalala. And if you look in the Chumash, you'll see that the juxtaposition of this idea of Vayihi Adam L'nefesh Chaya, it's right away put together with the creation of Chava. L'Adam Lo Motza Ezer Kenegdo. And I mentioned last week, people who are lonely have no one to talk to. You need that Ezer. Hashem created a person that he's dependent. There should be a Zug, Zohar and a Keva, and they have to talk to each other. They have to communicate. And it's put, the Chumash juxtaposes the Ruach Mamalala with Ula'odam L'motza Ezer Kenegdo. Let's say he tried out all the Chayas and Behemoths, whether we take Rashi literally or we don't take Rashi literally, but he certainly, L'motza Ezer Kenegdo means he tried out, in some sense, all the animals. He couldn't talk to them. That's what it seems from the Pasuk. He couldn't talk to them. There was no communication. So, you know, even if the horse will take me, whatever it's capable of doing, but it's not the right Azer, because the main Azer, it seems from the Chumash, is the talking, communicating, sharing ideas, sharing thoughts, sharing values, etc. Ubo nivdal man abehemos. That's a bold statement. They've been trying for years. An animal will never be able to talk. I'm talking about a parrot. An animal will never be able to talk. It will never be a kulmas halev of the animal. Okay, now he wants you to think about the gift. So first you have to think about that. Then he wants you to think about writing. V'achaka chashov, after this, and this is where I said, he takes a man-made invention that we think of it as man-made. We think of the legal system as man-made. We think of the currency system as man-made. We think of roads as being man-made. And it's all Hashem deciding in which door to reveal that particular chachma. And therefore it belongs in Shar HaBechina. B'maylos osios, an alphabet, hamichtav v'aksiva, and writing, having letters, forming words, and writing. What's writing? He says, you know, before there were MP3 players, there was writing. And so there's a way of recording what people say. And now there's a record of it. He says, how can you can't build up any chachma. Everything is built on the previous generations. So how do you know what the previous generations did in mathematics, in engineering, in physics, in chemistry? Everything's built. He says, there's a record. There's a record of what humankind did up till now. And there's books, there's a record. Now, the Chavis Lubavitch was way before a printing press, right? He's talking about just a record of what people did, what people accomplished, what people are doing in faraway countries. Asher Bohena Machabrim, we connect, we link. Maisei HaOvrim, the past, people, the past generations, Bahanim Tsoim. That's wonderful. Thank you, Hashem. We're able to have what past generations accomplished, and it's not just lost. Why not? Because of Shar HaBechina. Hashem said there's writing, and people will write down what they did, and their, what they figured out, and now you will have that. And now you will build on that. Okay, they could teach it to students, but that's so limited, just the students who hear them. Writing is Hashem's way of having a record, and now all future generations will be able to have that and to build on that. Mechabrim ma'aseh ha'ovrim, they link past generations, past v'hanim tzoim, and present generations, v'inyoneihem, and everything they do, and what concerned them, and what they figured out, and how they dealt with issues. Laboim achreihem, and this is for all time, because the human history is a building. That doesn't start fresh. It builds on what was there before. So how do you know what was there before? He says it's writing to the Chavis Lubavitch. Also, umagiyim divreihem el misha eino nimtza imahem. Right before there was telephones. He says this is Hashem's way that you can communicate with someone on the other side of the world. You read these old Little House on the Prairie type books, right? When they got a letter, they were like in seventh heaven, because now they're finding out what Aunt Matilda is doing, and it only took 6 months to get here. This is how they talk in the books, right? We're laughing, but that's how they felt. Like the Pony Express? Whoa! 6 months, and I know what she's doing on the other side of the world. Umagiyim divreihem, their thoughts and what's happening in their lives can reach El Misha Eino Nimtza Imahem. This is a chiddush of Hashem. It's a way of having that knowledge. The Yodim Divrei HaRechokim Mehem. You can know what's happening with people you don't normally interact with in your daily life. Wow, that's so great. The Inyani Krovehem. You know what's doing with your relatives. So maybe to some of you that's not such a good thing, but it's very Chavis Lubavitch says, you want to keep up with your family, you want to know what's happening. Asher be'eretz acheres she'efshor, maybe she'behagiyim aleihem, maybe when they get a letter from you, chaye rucham, maybe it'll cheer them up, like v'techi ruach Yaakov avihem, right? I mean, he got cheered up. Maybe they get a letter, say, oh, I haven't heard from this person in so long, wow, and a smile breaks out, and they sit down and they read it. We have a very nice minhag in my family. We have a family newsletter. Of course, a lot of kids are married, and we wanted to figure out a way for everybody to keep up with everybody else's life. So every Friday, everybody sends in what they want to write about what happened to them that week, or if a child got a new tooth, or and anything they want to write, from silly to important. And I'm the editor. I put it together every Friday, and we send it to everybody, what everybody wrote. It's a family newsletter. And this way, when they meet each other, because, we have an amazing setup, Baruch Hashem, that a lot of us are together, but many of us are not together. So you meet someone like, you know, you don't know what's happening, you know, and yet now you feel like you know what's happening in their lives. You know, this one got a job, and this one lost a job, and this kid grew up, and this one is cute, and this one this, and this one is not so cute, and this one is a troublemaker, and it really connects people. But the Chavis Halbava says that's very valuable, the Shara Bechina, that's something to give thanks for and be grateful for, that there's a method of doing that, and that's writing, whether you type it or email it, lo mishaneh. It's letters, it's the alphabet. Talking is not necessarily that. You have to understand what he's saying. You don't need an alphabet to talk. You need an alphabet to write. Because this is a consonant, and this is a vowel, and this is the word. Talking, you can make up a heskim of what sounds mean certain things. And I don't see that you need an alphabet for talking. Now he's saying this writing, and you can have a record of everything that's happening, and people far away, your relatives from a faraway place, I have to write this in the next newsletter, your relatives in a faraway place. It's also a good diary, because now we have one for the last 3 years, and each person could, it's on email, everybody can save it, and they can write, it's like it's a personal diary for them also, because otherwise they would never write what happened to them that week. And now, v'hatzalosam me'ra'osam u'shchisusam, you could write someone, like, you know, there's a flu epidemic here, you know, you write things that could warn them, that could save them by warning them of things that are happening and things that they should watch out for. You can share with them your experiences as a Chavis Halbavus in a very beneficial way. They can learn from your mistakes, they can learn from things that are happening to you. Of course, the best example of the value of writing, which he doesn't mention, is Torah Shebiktav. Torah. Torah is that's how Hashem communicated with Klal Yisrael. The Iker of Torah Shebiktav, and then there's Torah Shebaal Peh. But now there's a written record of what Hashem wants from us and the 613 mitzvahs and how He wants us to live in our lives. And He doesn't want us to be like the Goyim, and we're a special nation, and there's a written record of it that every Cheder kid could learn because it's written in the Chumash. So that's the best example of writing. Rabbi Vigdamila points out, of course, that this is also, we have to also think about the ability to write. It takes dexterity to write. If we had paws, we couldn't write, right? If we wouldn't have these very, very dexterous fingers, and each one's a different size, and it serves a different purpose. The thumb is like amazing. Like, without a thumb, we could do so much because of the thumb. So that's also part of being grateful for writing. Ubotiskayena chachmas besforim. This is what he said. Human knowledge is preserved because of books, because of the ability to write. V'yischabru ha'enyonim ha'mufuzorim b'levavos. Like this, you can bring it together. You can write an encyclopedia, or you can write a book on how this works, and you collect what different people figured out, and you put it together in one book. Like this, it's scattered. This person figured this out, this person figured that out, but now we have the ability to write a book and bring all of human knowledge together, right? How to sew, how to crochet, how anything, a cookbook, right? Everybody contributes. It brings all the chachma together. And let's not forget about kosvin mashiyesh b'neim minyani maso matan, how difficult would business transactions be without the ability to record it? We take this for granted. He's speaking it out. All business transactions. If there wouldn't be a written record of it, what good would it be? Uschayra, whether it's involved with merchandise, the halva, loans, kinyan, purchasing, benisuin, gerushin, getting married, divorce, everything is, you see, is shtar. Everything's a shtar. Everything is put down in writing, and it's a record of it, and that's how you know what happened. Bo'inyan rav mehashlim. I cannot possibly write, says the Chavis Halbavus, all the benefits and usages of writing. Bo'inyan rav mehashlim. I can't list all of it. Now he moves on to back to biology. He talked a little. He talked for a few inyanim of qualities that a person has. Now he's a little backtracking to biology. He's talking about fingers and palms. If you want to add more benefits that Hashem gives people, he has a palm, the etzbos and fingers, separate fingers, different sizes. V'sakin b'hem horoshem. First of all, you could write with it because you make indentations on clay. That's probably how they started writing, symbols and whatever. V'hamichtov, and then you could write. V'horikma, that's embroidery. Can't do that without fingers. Not very dexterous fingers. Ukadichas ha'esh, and making a fire, because, you know, it's not, how did they make a fire? They took some flint, and you need dexterity. Ushar ha'maisen v'amlochas ha'dakos, you use your hands and your fingers and the palm with all forms of fine work, ha'dakos. We're not talking about carrying packages. We're talking about something that's more subtle, more edel, more fine. Mibaladei shor minei chayim. Other living creatures can't do it. Mipnei she'enam tzrichem lahem. They have what they need. They have claws to get food. They have paws. Everybody has what they need. This is, if you think about it and study it, you'll see the chesed Hashem, that everybody has exactly what they need. We have fingernails. They're not like animal nails. You can't kill anybody with your fingernails, but they can scratch. It's probably a method also, besides the other milas, it's also self-defense. Although you can't attack anyone with it, an animal attacks with its claws, and it's much harder. It's not so flexible like a nail. An animal has like a horn. It's like as hard as a horn, and it attacks. It claws for other animals to death. Va Omar, and I would like to tell you, he says, ki ein aver shezocharti toalos, of all the organs and limbs that we talked about, besides all the processes of digestion and giving birth and all the things that different avarim did that he mentioned already and that we learned already, there is not one she'ein simone hachochmo nirim, that you don't see proof or evidence of Hashem's wisdom and kindness, Bahar Kavoso, how it's put together, whether it's, you know, the joints that allows you to swivel your neck and your elbow, go up and down, and this way and that way, and the wrist turns all around. These are the joints in your body. Bahar Kavoso, how it's put together, Utfunoso, the wisdom exhibited, the Chiburo, Lamisha Bizvonim Bohem. You have to study it, you have to think about it. And okay, again, Khalifamobus lived in the 1100s, right? But he had books. We'll see in a second. He quotes a medical book that you should study. They do some chazaka, they are powerful testimony, who are yosam galuya, and very clear proof, al chemla sabori olenu. Wow, thank you Hashem. This is what Hashem, first of all, it's Hashem's wisdom. This is the twin theme throughout the whole Shaar HaBechina. Hashem's wisdom and plan and purpose and design, and Hashem's kindness and rachamim, because he gave us these things that lets us move around, and it lets us, let's say, like, it lets us be more flexible. We can do a lot of things because of that. And any organ that you study, you unearth the wisdom and the kindness that's involved with it. And now the Chavis Halbova says, Ukvar Bier Galinus, that's a Greek physician, Galen, G-A-L-E-N, he already wrote in his books, Chavzalovus writes in his Toelas Eivorim Borheitev. He writes the benefit of each organ and each limb in great detail, what it accomplishes for a person. Chavzalovus writes in his Hakdama, towards the end of the Hakdama to the whole Sefer, that he's not going to be embarrassed or ashamed or afraid to quote Goyim. we have what to learn from the Goyim. If we do, then we do. If they wrote a book, if this guy wrote a book that explains the toelis of the Evarim, then you have an obligation to go read it, if that's the source of information that you have, and study it, and develop Avos Hashem, and develop Yedias Hashem, and develop Bechina on your way to all the other Madregas. Yeah.
Then why is the philosophy of many yeshivas not to do
Okay, that's a whole other discussion. I would hope it's not. If they would do it, and they would do it, if I had a school, I would do it, and I would do it in a Chayvus Halvavot centered way. Nowadays, I'm not going to answer you because I'm not their spokesman, and there's no answer. That's part of the problem. That's why people have to learn Chayvus Halvavot, because there's a tremendous value in studying these things. Want to know some of the cheshbonos that probably go through their minds, even if they are aware of this, is that people's ability, right? What is the attention span down to now? 12 minutes? Not this class. This class is wonderful. But attention spans, b'derech klal, are down to 20 to 15 minutes. And how long can a person concentrate? And if I have to choose between... This is part of the cheshbon. It might not be a correct cheshbon. Say, okay, you're spending 6 hours, 7 hours a day learning, spend 20 minutes on Shaar HaBechina. I don't have an answer for that. There is also, they want us, when the ghetto walls fell down around the time of Napoleon, that's when Jews started living next to Goyim. No ghettos. So it was considered a great, great thing. But it was not a great thing. We don't look at it as a great thing. Again, Hashem maneuvers history, and this is what Hashem wanted. He wanted us to move into a new era where we would have more personal freedom. But the bigger nisayon of being influenced by the culture around us, because we're not in a ghetto, so we're influenced by newspapers and radios and our next door neighbor, etc., etc., etc. Israel is not much better because there's a lot of Western influence here, as we all know. So there developed the Maskilim developed a culture that is a inherent benefit in being a learned person, in being a man or woman of letters, of being educated, of having a doctorate, and that's a value in itself, not a way of making parnasa. And not a way of seeing Hashem through Shaar HaBechina. So that became something very alluring, and that's the Haskalah did that. So it could be the Haskalah ruined it by there being a Haskalah, and now we have to guard against people falling into that trap. I'm not saying it's correct, I'm not saying there's no safeguards you can do, I'm trying to explain to you what they were facing. A much more mitzumtzum dikka ability to study and to learn, and they had to choose. You could say the same thing, why don't they learn Tanakh in most yeshivas, right? It's all the same answer. I'm not saying it's correct, but they said, you know, we gotta cut our losses, you know, we gotta circle the wagons. We have to circle the wagons and save what we can. So we're gonna learn Gemara for 7 hours a day. I imagine, and that's what happened in many areas, and that's why. And then we're still fighting. We're not producing people that know Shas better than previous Doros. So it's a problem. It's a good question. There's no again. I'm not their spokesman, but certainly, if it would be done the right way, and it's a Chovas Halvavos, it must be done. It should be done, and it must be done. And again, we're talking about what's called secular knowledge, should either be done for the sake of parnasa, vocational, or it should be for Shaar HaBechina. And you could study chemistry and physics and astronomy and history, and all these things could be done through the lens of Shaar HaBechina. It's not easy to do, but it could and should be done that way. But so, you know, I guess they made a choice, I would imagine. I'm not their spokesman, but I imagine they made a choice because they're living, we're living in a very, again, I think like, that breakdown of the ghetto walls was a very, very bad, I mean, it really led to a lot of the things we see today, because we have to fight constant influence of the prevailing culture that we used to be sort of immune from because we lived in the shtetl and we didn't interact with the goyim. Who interacted with goyim? You stayed out of their way and you tried to avoid them, and you know, they were drunk half the time, and he just didn't want to connect with them. And then Napoleon really changed everything, I think. I mean, that's what it looks like to me. But then the Haskalah movement popped up, and they used it for bad. So, I hope I answered your question somewhat. Okay. It doesn't even have to be a pshara. You can go full force with Shara Bechina. But it's hard. It's hard. So, you know. Well, okay, so we have enough people that could write it in a good way. And the Chanami, that's also...